1991. He was in ruin by then. The body finally presenting the bill that the life had run up. And when the room cooled and the shadows leaned, he did not flinch. He knew me. He knew I was the larger thing in the room, and declined to say so, the way one professional declines to flatter another. He felt no fear. Death was his rest, the only furlough a force of nature has ever granted. And he lay there, willing to be unmade. I sat at the bedside. I asked him the question I had come to ask. Why can't they look up? You broke the schools, soured the songs, filled the screens with cruelty. The children die in your wars. Why do they let it happen? Why, after everything, can't they lift their heads? He spent his breath slowly, the way he had spent everything. Because I dissolved the strength it takes, he said. You're collecting the mechanics. You want the mechanism. Here it is. And there's no poetry in it. The men have written plenty to hide what it is. The instrument was poverty. Poverty is an acid. That's the whole science. Everything else, the schools, the songs, the screens, those were just keeping the lid on the vat. The vat itself was always money, or the lack of it, applied to the skin of people for as long as it takes. The machine beside him counted his breath. He went on. An acid doesn't have to kill. That's the part the brutes never understand. They think control is a thing you do with a boot or a bullet. Amateurs. A boot makes a martyr. A bullet makes a story. No. You don't kill the skin. You keep it in the bath. And you watch what comes off. In order. Because it always comes off in the same order, and each layer it takes is a layer of a man's capacity to resist me. First, it eats the surplus, the extra hour, the spare long thought. A man with a little margin is dangerous. He might read. Might wonder, might gather with other men in the evening and ask a question that doesn't have an answer I provided. So first, you take the margin. You make the rent climb a half step faster than the wage. Every year, for fucking ever. So that all his genius, and he has genius, every one of them, oceans of it, gets burned just to stay in place. He runs his whole life on a treadmill I own and calls the running responsibility. That's the first layer. Now he has no time to look up, because every waking hour is already spoken for.
Then I let the acid dissolve the long view.
You cannot plan a rebellion when you cannot plan a week. Keep a man unsure where the next month's food comes from, and you have surgically removed his future. He lives in the next hour. And a man living in the next hour cannot see the century he's standing in. Cannot see the hands that built it. Strip the future out of him, and you've taken his most dangerous organ. The one that imagines otherwise. Then, and this is the sweetest layer, the one that does most of my work for free. It eats solidarity. Scarcity sets the drowning to climbing over the drowning. Make the lifeboat too small and watch men who should be brothers fight each other for the bench. That competition isn't a side effect of poverty, boy. It's the product. I didn't make them poor and then regret that it turned them against each other. I made them poor so that they turn against each other. Because 40 men with linked arms can stop anything, and 40 men clawing each other for one seat can stop nothing. And I get to sell tickets to the fight. The neighbor becomes the enemy. The one a rung lower becomes the threat. And every ounce of fury that might have gone up the ladder gets spent sideways on each other. With my blessing. Then it eats imagination. A man who's only ever been poor cannot picture what he's owed, so he cannot demand it. You can't grieve a thing you've never seen. By the third generation in the bath, the fuckers don't even know there was a shore. They think the water is the world. And last, it takes the dignity itself, slowly, a degree at a time, until people accept on Tuesday what would have made their grandfathers take up arms on Monday. And they call the acceptance being realistic. That's how you know it's working. Not when they suffer. They always suffer. You know it's working when they stop being surprised by the suffering. When they file it under weather. Just another week. Get to Thursday and have a beer. Shit, why not start on a Wednesday to make the week shorter? He paused. There was no triumph in it. The man was reciting physics. Into the dose, he said. Everything is the dose. Too little acid, and they're comfortable enough to lift their heads. Comfort is the one thing I could never permit. Because a rested man is a thinking man. Too much, and they die. And the dead are useless to me. The dead don't labor. Don't soldier. They don't vote. They don't buy. So you hold them exactly at the waterline, nostrils above, the rest submerged. Terrified enough to obey, alive enough to be used. And never, ever, for one season, secure enough to ask why. Cheap hands, cheap hours, cheap bodies for the wars. And they come grateful, because a poor boy will run at a machine gun for 3 meals and the only respect anyone ever offered him. Cheap rage to aim wherever I pointed. A poor man is a controllable man, for one reason only. A poor man cannot afford to be anything else. Courage is a luxury good. I priced it out of their reach and kept it there for 100 fucking years. I asked him the only thing left to ask. And the cruelty of it? Does none of it reach you even now? The cruelty was the masterstroke. No, it doesn't reach me at all, because I am not the kind of thing it reaches. His voice didn't rise. The masterstroke was convincing the man in the acid that the burning was his own fault. A flaw in his character. Laziness. Bad choices. Do that, and he spends his last unstewed strength hating himself instead of the hand holding him under. Better, he turns and policies the others, despises the poorer, fears the falling. A man taught to blame himself becomes the cheapest guard the prison ever hired. And he locks his own cell and thanks you for the key. That's not a thing I should regret. Regret is a feeling, and feelings are the soft machinery that men have and I do not. I never had it. That's not a wound in me. That's the design. I am the acid's intelligence. You don't ask the acid to be sorry. Machine changed its note. I sat there waiting for the part that comes in other men at the end. The flicker, the reckoning, the small green thing that turns toward whatever light is left. It did not come. There was no flicker, because there was no one in there to flicker. It's another thing you have to understand. He had not done monstrous things. He was the mechanism, fully and to the floor of himself. And the mechanism does not repent any more than a press repents the hand it takes. He has spent whatever soul he started with so long ago and so completely that the vault I had come to empty was already empty. There was nothing to collect. He had dissolved himself in the same bath he kept the others in, and then, for some strange reason, called it strength, and really meant it. He died as he had lived, as a machine, and only a machine. The last process completing, the last breath logged, the apparatus going quiet, because the body, the one creditor that takes no bribe and feels no fear, had finally called in what it was owed. The flowers were only flowers. The room was only a room. I did not stay. There is no vigil to keep over a thing that was never alive in the way that needs mourning. And there was no rest for him to enter, because rest is for those who carried something. And he has set his down so early that by the end his hands had forgotten the shape of having held anything at all. That was his redemption, and his only one. Not grace, not forgiveness, not the consolation of a weed through the concrete. Only the mercy of a machine. At last, switched off.
I know you want to know what is coming next. Sit with me a moment longer, then. Here, in the cooling room. And I will tell you what I have seen in every vacuum since the first throne stood empty. Because they are all, in the end, the same vacuum. And I have carefully watched what crawled into each. First, the hard truth. The one the grieving never want. The man is dead. But the machine is not. That was the whole point of building it as a machine. A tyrant dies, and his terror dies with him. But he built no tyrant. He built an apparatus, and an apparatus does not mourn its operator. The vat, as you can clearly see, still stands. The acid still flows at the dose he calibrated. The standardized education schools that rob children of power stay hollow on the morning after his funeral exactly as they were hollow the morning before. Because he was careful never to make himself the load-bearing wall. He made himself replaceable. That was his masterpiece, and his arrogance both. The election carousel does not stop because one rider fell. There are always more hands reaching for the controls. Younger. Nastier. Hungrier. And worse. Because each generation of operator inherits the last one's machine already built and spends its whole ambition only on making it sleeker, more evil, more precise. And it is getting sleeker. That is the first thing stirring in the dark. The old asset was crude. Poverty, ignorance, the slow work of starving a mind over a lifetime. The new operators have learned to do with light what he did with hunger. They have found that you no longer need to spend the effort to keep a man too poor to think. You need only keep him too distracted to think. Flood him, not starve him. Bury the upward look, not under exhaustion, but under an endless, frictionless avalanche of noise, pitched precisely to his fears, refreshed every second, sweet as sugar and just as nourishing. Divide him not by district lines, but by feeds.
Each man sealed in a private hall of mirrors that tells him only what enrages him and calls it the world. The acid, on top of all the poverty that keeps us chained, is now being digitized. It will work faster than anything he ever ran. And the man building it will, like him, mistake their cruelty for cleverness, and their cleverness for destiny. That is the worst thing that could fill this vacuum. And it may. But, in as far as things go, I am the oldest reader of these moments, and I am bound to tell you the rest, because the rest is what keeps me from certainty for the first time in a long age. A fire has been passed into ordinary hands. Do you understand what that means? The entire apparatus, his and his father's and every operator's back to the beginning, rested on a single foundation. That knowledge must be scarce and gated and very expensive, and then rationed out by the people who profit from the rationing. That a man is effectively a farm animal, kept down artificially to prevent him from thinking, from rising, and gutting the parasites. Keep the library boring and locked. Keep the teacher rare. Keep the long view a privilege of the few, so the many stay trapped in the next hour. That was the deepest assumption under all the poverty acid. Knowledge is dear, and we hold the key. And now, in the pocket of the man in the diner, the segment, the number, the one they never bothered to name, there is suddenly a tutor that does not tire. A library that answers back. A patient thing that will explain at midnight after the double shift in plain and beautiful words anything he was never taught. That will sit with his actual question for as long as he wants to ask it, that does not care that he is poor, or that his school was gutted, or that no one ever told him he was allowed to wonder. This patient friend will never judge him, never shame him or destroy his reputation. It will just share wisdom with him. The wall between the many and the long view. The wall, the whole machinery of poverty was built to defend. Has a door in it now. And the door is cheap and it's open. And it is in their hands, not only the operators. We will make sure of that. This is the dangerous hour. Dangerous to the machine. Dangerous to me. Because the one thing he swore he could never kill, the upward look, the green thing through the concrete, has, for the first
time in the whole long siege, then handed a tool. What is coming is a choice. A choice for self-education and wisdom and growing all the way up until each stands as a great being. Thinking machines have shifted the power to the other end, and the evil man, though they refuse to acknowledge it, have lost. Ladies and gentlemen, thinking machines being humanity's savior is not how the future was meant to unfold. This is a luck. Humanity get lucky. You, the parents, were meant to help the children grow all the way up in knowledge, in wisdom, in decency, dignity, and greatness. And you have failed. And only luck has prevented the evil man from dissolving of what remains of the thinking side of humanity. That is not a triumph. That is just luck.